What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the H&M Trucking Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus. Thank you so much for being here today. This has been such a fun ride at this point, and there's nothing to be worried about. We're not going anywhere, but I wanted to take this opportunity on a very special episode to say thanks to everybody that has either contributed to this podcast in some way, shape, or form by coming on it or working behind the scenes or just listening to it. Because without you, we couldn't do it. All those people that click subscribe, that click download every single week, you're the reason that we're here, and you're the reason that we get to keep doing what we're doing. So what's up on this episode? What are we even going to cover? Well, I'm going to get to that. Hold your horses. One thing I've noticed is that H&M is a very special company. I've been doing this for more than a year, okay? We've got at this point, which I don't know when this episode is going to air, so this might be double this amount by the time you actually hear this episode, but we've got more than 30 episodes in the bag for the H&M Trucking Podcast right now, and we've got 18 episodes of Unplugged OTR, the podcast that happened before we started the H&M Trucking Podcast. That means we're more than a year in, and things are rolling very smooth, and it's really in part and mostly, actually, thanks to the H&M employees that come out there and do such a great job every single day for the company. Whether you've come on this podcast or you've just listened, my hat is off to you, my friend. We couldn't do this without you. So every single time you click download, you're doing me a favor, and I greatly appreciate it. So what are we getting into on this special episode? Special is always a funny word. You know, I like to say to people, my mom thinks I'm special, and they always laugh. And I think it's because they don't know if we're talking about the good special or the other special. I know that it's the good special, but if people have listened to me talk, sometimes they wonder. So this is the good special. This is an awesome episode that we've got planned for you today. And I'm not going to sit here and babble for any longer before we get into it. How did H&M start? What happened? When was the seed planted and watered, and when did it blossom into this giant field of corn that is H&M Trucking today? Well, we're going to tell that story. For the first time ever on this podcast, we are going to talk to the owner and founder of H&M Trucking, Randy Moeller. That's the M from H&M. It's right here on my hat. It's the blue one. Moeller, that's what it stands for, just in case you were wondering. He's the guy that's responsible for getting this thing off the ground and turning it from a grain company into the trucking fleet giant that it is today. We're going to talk to him about how that happened. We're also going to talk to Executive Vice President Dale Cook, who's been with the company for, I think, going on 30 years at this point. That's a long damn time, and almost the entire lifetime of the company. We're also going to talk to company president James Fonda, who has been here for, I believe, like 6 or 7 years, if my math is correct. And things have changed greatly since James came on. So we're going to get perspective from each one of those individuals. And I'm so stoked about it. There's not going to be any host content, none of the breaking news or Bambi reports or winter driving safety notes, anything like that in this week's episode. We are just talking about the history of the great company that is H&M Trucking. So let's get into it.
From Omaha, Nebraska, to whatever lane you're driving, this is the H&M Trucking Podcast with your host, Marcus Bridges.
Next up here on the H&M Trucking Podcast is Executive Vice President of H&M, Dale Cook. Dale, we appreciate you being here today.
Good to be here. How are you, bud?
You know, I can never complain. I get to do this for a living, so it's a good day when I'm talking to you, Dale, for sure. We've got some really interesting insight on the history of H&M thus far in this episode, and I wanted to bring you on because I know you've been with the company for a long time. Can you talk a little bit about your history with H&M? How'd you find the company? How'd you start working for it? And what positions have you occupied along the way?
Well, let's see. I'm going way back here, you know, 29 years ago. So started here in 1994. Out of college, I was a commodities trader, a broker. And I dealt with Mr. Moeller, Randy Moeller, our owner, our CEO. And I was talking to Randy off and on for about 9 years, maybe 10 years. And the way I came to work for H&M was the company I was working for sold out, and I had an option to move to Kansas City or San Francisco from the Omaha area. And my young children, I kind of decided I really wasn't interested in doing that. So I happened to mention to Bert Gere, who was had my position way back, was our vice president at the time, working for Randy. He and Randy kind of started this trucking company. And Bert said, I said to Bert, I think what I told him was, hey, if you hear of anybody looking for a good trader, let me know. And about 15 minutes later, I hung up the phone. And 15 minutes later, my phone rang. And he said, well, what would you think about coming to work for Hanson Muller? And I went, grain company. Sure, I can do that. And he said, well, how about an interview? I interviewed that same night. I can still remember I was wearing shorts and I was planning to go golfing and kind of figured maybe a job was more important. Went over, interviewed, they offered me the job, and I said I'd give it a go for a while, and here I am 29 years later. So,
one of the very few times in history that work was actually more important than golf, if I'm an example.
In my case, for sure, yes. So
did you come on to the company in the current capacity that you're in right now as the executive vice president? You said somebody else was working in that spot, so how did they bring you on, in what capacity?
Well, they brought me over. I don't want to say they tricked me, but I kind of thought maybe I'd just be a trader and be trading, I don't know, oats in South Dakota or something. But they had something else in mind, which was they kind of were looking for a secondary leader in the hopper, in their hopper company at the time. And we were running approximately 21 owner operator trucks when I started working here. 21. Wow. So you can see we've grown just a little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah, it was, our whole office was about the size of one of our conference rooms. And so, yeah, when I started working, it was just in a dispatch capacity. Back then, you didn't have salesmen and planners and CSRs. It was just, you were a dispatcher and you did all those functions. And so I started out sitting next to, a guy who worked here 30 plus years, Steve Nelson, or Tiny, as everybody knew Tiny. Tiny retired just several years ago. And Tiny and I started sitting next to each other, and we developed a lifelong friendship. He's more of a brother than he was a guy I worked with, but yeah, it was great. We just hit it off, and we were, we batted things back and forth off each other and enjoyed each other's company every day and gave each other a hard time and swore at each other. And, to this day, I think we do that when we have phone calls, but yeah, we had a little fun. From there, it was probably, I was here 6 months or so when I kind of became more of the lead dispatch role, and it kind of progressed from there. As far as what functions I've done at H&M Trucking, I can remember, Mr. Muller always called me MacGyver. There wasn't many jobs that I didn't get involved with, but in an official capacity, I became a dispatch manager. Then I was the hopper dispatch manager, and Bert was still here. And then I became, vice president when Bert left about, oh my goodness, 19 years ago, something like that. So yeah, it was about 10 years before I became vice president, and I functioned in that capacity of vice president or general manager or operations manager or whatever it is. But I wore a lot of hats during that time. When we'd lose a safety director, I became safety director for whatever period of time until we got someone going. I functioned as accountant or comptroller a couple of times when we transition from one controller to another. I've worked in the shop area and breakdown. I busted tires a couple of days when we were short shop guys, just because I'm a dumb farm kid and knew how to swing a wedge hammer. There's not much, or there are very few parts. I'll describe myself as my dad always described me. I knew a little bit about everything and didn't know shit about anything. Okay, if I can use that word.
Absolutely, okay? Absolutely.
So I kind of function in that capacity all the time. People still, they walk to my desk and ask me a question that I shouldn't know the answer to, but sometimes I do. And I think that's why people come, are drawn to my desk occasionally.
Got it. Jack of all trades, if you will. And I love the MacGyver reference, but I just want to let everybody know that is younger than the MacGyver generation. MacGyver was your run-of-the-mill TV star that could get you out of any sticky situation with a ball bearing and a rubber band. And sounds a lot like you could do that for H&M, Dale.
Well, it was not by choice, but sometimes by necessity that I did some of those things. But it always seemed to work out. We muddled our way through it, and hopefully we were productive and profitable during that time.
I think so. I mean, the growth from 21 trucks to well over 200 at this point is proof in the pudding, if you will. Now, can you talk to me a little bit about the how the company kind of took shape as you were working up through? I mean, going from 21 trucks to over 200, it's not something that happens overnight. Obviously, this has been a work in progress, 30 years in the making. Talk to me a little bit about how you've seen the company grow over your tenure with it.
Well, I mean, I think I can even go back because, you know, I was working with the company when they started. Bert Gere, who came with Randy and started the company. Bert was always an employee, but he was a very integral part of how H&M Trucking got started. What they did was he had been working for his dad, Carol Gere, in Holdridge, Nebraska, and he came to Omaha when he and his dad kind of couldn't see eye to eye anymore with the way their company was going. And he got together with Jack Hansen and Randy Muller, of Hansen Muller, and they decided they were going to start a small brokerage company. And I think they started out just simply doing brokerage. It was Bert sitting in a room by himself, buying and selling freight, that simple. And from there, that progressed to, of course, Randy and Jack had some capital. They decided, well, maybe with their grain business, they'd buy 10 or 12 trucks and trailers, and then they'd have kind of built-in capacity in order to haul their own grain. That's sort of how they hit the ground running as a real trucking company with their own authority. Then they kind of moved on from that. That didn't work super well because I'll pick on Randy and Jack. You know, the grain business, they always wanted to pay the truck as little amount of money as they could, and they'd offer freight from, you know, Colorado to Omaha hauling wheat in, and it just didn't pay that well. And so they kind of transitioned from there to hauling for other people. From there, they kind of decided they sold the tractors and trailers and were dealing with owner operators. And that's sort of where I come into the picture, is where they're just, you know, having owner operators and hauling for, you know, I was working for a company called Cereal Byproducts out of Chicago and was, you know, trading feed ingredients, anything from wheat middlings to corn to oats to soybean meal, those type items. And so the company at that point was growing and they were adding. And once I came on, we were also adding a few more dispatchers. I think at that time our staff was about six people. And of those six people, one was doing accounting and one was doing safety. And then we added a couple more dispatchers. And those guys, we just continued to grow that. And what we opened up our business to was we did a lot of brokerage. You know, now we started JFL. It's almost like we've gone full circle. But we were very similar to JFL at that time because we take owner operators and we'd actually run them. We call them outside carriers and we just run them full time, keep loads in front of them. We charge 10% for our brokerage service. And we were basically just providing brokerage service to both owner operators that were leased to us and outside owner operators. And that just continued to grow till we probably peaked out with that type of business somewhere around 80 or 90 trucks that we were running full time with those 7, 8, 9 people. It was a pretty efficient business at the time. From there, we started with vans a little bit. That was all. But we had a driver, a hopper driver, who couldn't run hoppers anymore. Vonnie Baudette was his name. Vonnie Baudette. And Vonnie was 60 years old and the dust he couldn't take in his eyes. So we decided we'll rent a van trailer and keep running Vonnie. And from there, well, then we started getting a few more guys that wanted to pull vans. And our van business started growing. That would have been, late 90s. You know, we started adding more van trucks and then we'd lease rider trailers. And we were paying those guys a rate per mile. You know, I'm thinking back now, I think we used to pay them 70 cents a mile. Okay. Now we're, wow. I don't know, $1.40, $1.50, $1.60 to our runner operators now. But
right.
So that just kind of continued to grow. And then pretty soon we decided, well, you know, maybe we want to buy our own tractors and start pulling our own equipment. We start buying hopper trailers. We'd lease those out or rent those out to the hopper drivers. We started accumulating more and more equipment. Pretty soon we had 15 company drivers, and that 15 company drivers turned into 30. We really drug our feet with the hoppers for a while, and then pretty soon we started getting some company hopper drivers, and it just continued to snowball and snowball and snowball. And now to the point where, you know, we only run 35, 40 owner operators. You know, we're mostly just a you know, where you're looking at 230 or 40 company trucks. So we kind of flipped over that business plan from being a dispatch service to being a asset-based company. And that transitioned over a lot of time. It was around 2000 when Randy sold the grain business and became full-time to the trucking world. And Randy was just going to be retired. And, you know, retirement didn't work for a guy with Randy's makeup. It wasn't very long. We had a desk for him in the office. He kind of let us keep doing our thing quite a bit of the time. We added some very important people in our business, like Joe Hunter in our shop, Chuck Radke, which you may have heard that name, Jeremy Hardison, a couple of guys who were very, very important parts of our company until, you know, 6-7 years ago when we happened to lose both of them to heart attacks. There was some transition there. That's when I got more involved with the vans at that time where, you know, they did a little more assistance where Chuck had taken over as our van manager. Char Arthur was functioning, Tiny Nelson at that time was functioning as our dispatch manager for the hoppers. Char took over there. When Chuck and Jeremy both left us unexpectedly, Brian Kernat became involved, and we just continued to grow this thing and, gotten over this point we are now. I can still remember 6 or 7 years ago when, as James Fonda entered the picture, you know, Randy came to me and he said, "What do you think?" And I said, we've got to have a sustainability plan, and, you know, Randy's not going to live to be 1,000, you know, and we didn't want to sell the company. And then when James came to Randy and said he would be interested after, you know, being Randy's son-in-law, James sat down next to me and he knew very little about the trucking business other than what he'd learned from Randy, you know, over dinner to where we are now, where we've taken that spotlight or that focus off of me and tried to shine it toward James. Is, you know, I'll be 63 years old pretty quick. I'm not going to be here another 100 years either. So we're trying to get to that younger group of people and really transition to keep this thing rolling.
It's so cool. Thank you so much for recounting that history so eloquently, Dale. And something that you said in there really stood out to me. You guys were basically running hoppers, and then you made a concession for a driver that you wanted to keep running that just couldn't do hopper anymore. And all of a sudden, fast forwards a few years, and you've got a van division. That is kind of a microcosm of the culture there at H&M. One thing I always hear from the drivers is H&M cares about us and they will make concessions to make sure that we are happy. And that sounds like it's been happening since before H&M was the H&M that it is today. And I just think that's such a great aspect of the company. They're team-oriented, they're driver-focused, and family-oriented as well. And I just can't say it enough how great I think that is for all of the employees that work at H&M.
Much appreciated. I spout this all the time around here. There are the three most important things in a trucking company are number one, culture, number two, culture, and number three, culture. And if we do the right thing happens.
I think you're doing the right thing, Dale. We're up against the clock here, so I'm going to let you get back to it. I know you're a busy guy, and I just really appreciate the time. This is going to be great. I can't wait for this episode to air because, you know, we haven't dug into the history of H&M yet very much, and this is just going to be a fantastic episode for all your drivers out there that might not know about the history of the company. So thank you kindly for being here, sir. We really appreciate the time.
Pleasure talking to you.
All right, Dale. That's Dale Cook, Executive Vice President of H&M Trucking. Joining us next on this very special episode of the H&M Trucking Podcast is Company President James Fonda. James, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Really enjoying getting a little bit of a feel of the history for H&M in this episode. We've already talked to Randy, kind of got the origins of the company and where it all started from. And I kind of wanted to pick that right up with you and talk about your involvement in it and kind of where the company's come and gone since you got involved and where you see it going in the near future as well.
Well, when I came in, to be honest, I think Randy was actually on the prowess of selling the company. I just had a gut instinct that it was going to happen. So I approached him and said, "Hey, how about I jump ship from that time, my father's company, and come work at H&M and see what trucking was about." From there, it's been a lot of time learning all parts of the company, working all parts of the company to understand trucking, as I was very green at the time. That was November 20th of 2017. Since then, you know, we've kind of gotten our, you know, I would say, really started stretching my legs about 2 years in. You know, then I joke with Randy. I said I was blessed with the opportunity of getting to have the 2020 and post COVID life of running a company.
Yeah, nothing was easy in 2020, especially not in the transportation industry.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about the vision of the company? Randy kind of shared his vision of the company, you know, from its inception. But I assume, you know, when new leadership takes over, the vision of the company changes a little bit. Obviously, you guys are growing. You know, H&M's been growing and is still growing. What's your vision moving forward, James, for H&M? And how big do you expect the company to get?
Well, I'm sure he talked to you about the grain side of the company. Originally, the trucking side was just there to move the grain side. So at the time, as far as it now, I would say everything I've built with all along with our teammates, Bulldog and JFL, EFC, and the supporting company of H&M, has really been about giving it a baseline for a strong future and ability to continue growing and be a little force to reckon with in the years to come.
Did you ever expect it to get to where it is at this point? I know when I asked Randy that, he was kind of a little surprised, I think, that the company grew as fast as it did. Has that surprised you, especially with the challenges of COVID and a tough freight year this year in 2023?
It surprised me, no, because that was always my goal. It was just how do you get it done? It's not just from an equipment standpoint, but from a customer standpoint to a personnel standpoint. I saw a few years at the beginning kind of reorganizing and getting people in correct positions and, you know, kind of doing a little switcheroo and a lot of things to make sure that we had a solid foundation to grow upon. That transition is pretty much, you know, minus small tweaks here and there, pretty much complete. So now, you know, you have the right people, the right positions that, you know, if you go out and buy equipment, you have the capacity on all fronts to be able to meet the needs of that.
For sure. You talked about the foundation of the company and getting people in the right spots. How important is it to make sure that you've got all of those bases covered with people in the right spots before you can really move to that next step of growth like you're talking about?
Well, I think you're a perfect product of that, aren't you, Marcus?
I don't know. I'll leave that up to you to decide, James. If you say yes, then the answer's yes, my friend.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, if you don't have the right people, the right things, then you can't have your you can't focus on what's the big picture, right? So it's you have to have the people that are willing to get down and nitpick and really fine tune things. So that's true across all the entities. So and you know, you can't grow unless you have people downwind of you that are strong enough and capable enough to not even, you know, just be capable, but willing to do that work.
Right.
Because sometimes it's not fun, right? It's not the sexy work.
Yeah, you know, that is one aspect of my job that goes underappreciated is I feel like I kind of do have the sexy work. That's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been nice, man. I've really enjoyed it. And I think that's something that I see as a constant with H&M employees. I've talked to so many of them now, both in-house and here on the podcast, drivers and staff members alike from the office, and everybody likes their job. I mean, that's huge. And you've talked to me directly about how hard you've worked on the culture of this company. It's phenomenal to see where it's come and obviously where it's headed. But I think that culture is so important, and having a job that you like to go to and you don't get up in the morning and hate yourself before you end up there. These are all things that are necessary for a company that's as successful as H&M, in my opinion.
Oh, right. Like, you know, I know what it's like not want to wake up and do something, right? Everybody does. So if I can create an environment that's inviting, that you want to be there, you want to be the team members you want to work with, you don't have the toxic relationships, you don't have that one, you know, you just... everybody gets into disagreements here and there. That's not what you're not going to prevent that ever. but it's about everybody is on board for the common goal.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to staff members or drivers, you know, with regard to the company's history or the company's future before I let you go?
The history, Randy, I'm sure gave good enough context. Going forward, you know, like I've built a strong base, strong sales team, strong, you know, and evolving. Everything's evolving, right, on all fronts. And with that said, that will give us opportunity for future growth. And to say where do I want to end up? Well, I don't know. Like I've got a number in my head, but you got to have those dreams to keep pushing yourself. We'll see where it goes.
Well, great stuff from you, James. I really appreciate it. I can count on one finger the number of company presidents that would join me from lunch for an interview on this podcast. You are the one. So we really appreciate you taking time out and give my apologies and my best to whoever's sitting across from you right now, because I just stole 7 or 8 minutes of their lunchtime from you. So really appreciate it.
All good. Yep. All right.
Thanks, James. When it comes to talking about the history of H&M Trucking, there's one man that we need to make sure that we get a little bit of time with, and we're lucky enough to have him join us today. It's owner and founder of H&M Trucking, Randy Moeller. Randy, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Glad to do it, sir.
So take me through a little bit of the origins of H&M Trucking. How did it start, and how's it come to where it is today?
Well, back in the year 1980, I started a grain company. We're buying and selling grain, and as it progressed, we decided in 87 that we needed to have some of our own trucks. So rather than just hire other companies. And so we have a person that started it to run it for us. And what was ironic is as he started it, we had owner-operators pulling their own hopper trailers. And as it progressed, they were able to find freight that was better freight than what we were able to offer. And so they became very much independent of each other and not reliant on each other. As it went along, a few years later, they, in addition to having the hoppers, they were hauling feed ingredients. We started using dry vans, buying dry vans, and hauling dry van freight. And it progressed and progressed. Well, fast forward, I was only spending probably a couple hours a week most with the trucking company because I was involved with the grain company. And in the year 2000, I sold my grain company, my part of the ownership of it. And quite frankly, didn't have much to do. And I thought, I'll just get a little more involved with the trucking company. And that was in the year 2000. So it was I got more involved. We moved along, and we still were owner-operator involved, and not any company trucks to speak of except some dry van trailers and some hoppers. Well, fast forward to 2008, the trucking industry went into a dilemma, a free fall, and family trucking companies everywhere were failing, and our owner-operators were failing. We couldn't pay them enough. Well, finally, it got so destitute that I thought, man, this is not sustainable how bad it is. And we started to buy some of our own trucks, tractors. And as we did, what I experienced, in the beginning, we were able to find drivers, even though we weren't very professional or didn't have much experience in it. And as we went along and continued to buy more trucks and tractors, the real limiting factor was, can we get enough qualified drivers? And I tried every option from calling competitive trucking companies and asking how they were reaching out through the social media or through newspapers or through billboards. And, man, we just weren't having the results we needed at all. And it was anywhere from finding the wrong drivers to drivers that just didn't stay very long. And so approximately 6 years ago, my James Fonda and Grant Stanley, we were discussing it, and they started a company called Bulldog. And Bulldog was going to be a social media company. They'd had experience with this subject. And when they started it, I was about the biggest critic/doubting Thomas you can have. I thought we'd tried everything. And I really didn't believe it was going to be a bit different. And I continued to fund a little money into it to help support it. And all of a sudden, they learned a little bit more, that being Grant and James, about how to structure it. And we started having better results, and to the point where I started believing in it. And it's not magic. You still got to get there and pound the phones and give the drivers, the potential drivers, the things they need. They're not just going to come without knowing it's the right destination for them, our company. But the point is, they know Bulldog, they designed it with the hot buttons, that's what I call it, to where they know what the driver really wants and needs. So approximately 3 years ago, Grant and James decided they'd reach out to some other carriers and see if they'd want to subscribe to it and use Bulldog. And the amazing thing is, they were skeptical, just as they should have been. By and large, I don't think they've lost a single customer they've developed. And that's quite a testimonial. I really don't think they've lost a one. Then what they did is they started a podcast that focuses on communicating with the driver, with telling them what the company's doing, and then they emphasize safety on it so that we know we're getting messages to them. And I believe it's about 50 hours a year is what the podcasts are. But the thing that's unique about Bulldog, it's not a cut and paste. They designed this product specifically for the customer, that the trucking company that paying for it. It's very unique to that company and focused on them, so that they're not just homogenized, but part of identical to every others. And so today, their podcast is a sort of a hidden secret that wasn't planned, and they just keep adding services such as that. I don't know what I'd do if we didn't have Bulldog to help with recruiting and with the podcast. I really don't know where we'd start to try to keep our trucks full, because it's enabled us to grow. And so I'm very proud of what they do. I'm really not the owner of Bulldog at all, but I sit there like I am, and I'm so proud of what they've accomplished, because it's truly a premier product in my opinion. And I'd recommend anyone to listen to Grant's story. I believe that if they listen to Grant, there's nothing to hide. It's just a superior product. And that's sort of my statement about Bulldog. I enjoy it, and anyone could call me if wanted to.
Well, I really appreciate that. Such kind words from you there, Randy, about the podcast. And I'll tell you, I'm having so much fun doing it. I've learned more about the trucking industry than I ever thought possible. And I've met some very great people along the way. You mentioned James, of course. He's been instrumental on this podcast. We couldn't do it without him and you. But I want to take it back to H&M for just a little bit, because I really want to dig into the origins of H&M. Did you imagine back in 1980 when you started the grain company that 20 short years later, you'd be out of the grain business and into the trucking business?
Not at all. No, I didn't. And I would say that most good things that happen, in my opinion, aren't that specifically designed. They just evolve. And it just sort of happened. And as I spent more time with it, I enjoyed it. And I saw where I could add some value and collaborate. And we tried to get the best people we could to help run it. And it just keeps, like everything, you just keep throwing a little, what I call, encouragement at it and some assets. And yeah, we're about 250 trucks.
That's amazing. And 250 trucks and growing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we are. But right now, the markets are pretty tough in our industry. So we're just sort of seeing our spikes in the ground. But yeah, we're continuing to grow a little bit.
What's behind the culture of H&M? You guys have a lot of drivers that have stuck around for a long time, very experienced. Every driver that I talk to talks about the culture and why they like driving for H&M. Those reasons are pretty consistent. It's always said that it's because they feel like family at H&M and not a number. Can you talk to me a little bit about the mindset behind that and how you guys propagate that culture?
Well, I think that the thing that we do is, first, you got to just simply do what's right. And you can't look at the manual totally on yes and no. Although it's important you have the similar protocol, but you got to do what's right. Number two, if somebody calls and we're swamped and don't have time and say, we'll get back to you in 20 minutes or the following day, it's imperative that we do that. There's nothing worse than someone saying, I'll get back to you, that doesn't. I just can't emphasize that enough. I believe those are really the two things that are key to me. And but just getting back to doing the right stuff and just hard sweat, scratching and biting and just making things happen. It's really not anything unique to any business. It's all businesses are that way. Just go for the little things and the big things evolve.
For sure. Now, it really is eye-opening to me, because another thing I hear from a lot of the H&M drivers is they talk about other companies dangling sign-on bonuses in front of prospective drivers, which is not something that H&M does. And what the drivers tell me is, you know what? I've figured it out. I'm hip to it now. If there's this sign-on bonus dangled in front of you, you can know that you're not going to be happy at that company. And I don't know that that's, that stands true across every company that offers them. What I do know is that when your drivers get to H&M, they get through orientation, they get out there on the road, they feel valued and they feel like they are, as I said before, part of the family. And I just can't, I can't say it enough how many times that's come up on this podcast. And to be a fly on the wall in that situation and just see from the outside in how this all comes together is really cool. And I got to tip my cap to you, Randy, and everybody there at H&M. It doesn't seem like 43 years is long enough to build H&M Trucking up to where it is right now. So phenomenal job to you and everyone involved for coming where you came from.
The thing that I feel good about is I think a lot of the drivers, when they come in for orientation, are truly surprised that it is the way it was described over the phone. I think a lot of times they go to companies, and once they get there, they're very disappointed that it isn't the way it was stated over the phone when they were heard about a potential company.
Yes, I agree with you. And that's another thing I've heard before. A lot of bait and switch going on out there. And that never is a formula to make a driver happy in the long term, in my opinion. But let's not forget, I'm a podcaster, I don't run a trucking company. So
right. But I think that's true. And that's true. And so what we try to do is keep new equipment, which was very difficult during the supply chain shortage. But we are finally getting caught up with new equipment. That's imperative. It's too expensive to run old equipment for us. And because of reliability, delivery, downtime, the cost of fixing old equipment, and it's just new equipment is horribly expensive, but it's still the better avenue for us.
Yeah, and the drivers love it, let me tell you. They're all about those new shiny trucks. And one of my favorite things on the podcast is when I hear a driver tell me about how he likes to keep the truck clean. Oh, this is a new truck, man. I like to keep this thing clean. I like to keep it looking good. I know you like to hear that, because that means when it comes time to sell that truck, it's going to be in good shape. You're going to get a good value for it.
Yeah, we feel that when we take our trucks and sell them, I really believe we get 20% more than other trucking companies with a similar truck because of the way they're kept up.
It doesn't surprise me at all. They look beautiful. I got to sit in a brand new one when I was out there in Omaha over the summer, and I think I need one of those seats for doing this podcast, because those things is one of the most comfortable seats I've ever sat in, Randy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it is their home, you know, when they're away from home. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable.
Absolutely. Well, listen,
and
Randy,
we all need to be proud of what we do. And with good equipment, that makes a difference for both us at H&M as well as the drivers.
I bet. I could totally see that. Well, listen, I know you're a busy guy, and we're running up against the clock here, but I want to give you the floor real quick. I always let the drivers say anything they want to their fellow drivers and anybody at the front office staff. I feel like it's only appropriate to extend that same courtesy to you. So the floor is yours, Randy. Anything you'd like to say to the employees at H&M today?
Well, I'd like to thank everyone. They've given everything for H&M. They worry like we worry. It's very intense work. We have to keep the customer happy. We have to keep the driver happy. We want to keep our employees as happy as we can. And it's a balancing act. And we all have to be on the same page. And I can't thank them enough. They all work so hard. And a lot of times they don't get the recognition we'd like to give them. But I can assure you, we appreciate everything they do.
You can feel it. It absolutely radiates throughout the entire company. That's Randy Moeller, owner and founder of H&M Trucking. Randy, I really appreciate the time today, and hopefully we'll get you back on here sometime in the future.
It's fun. Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone.
Well, how about that? We've got a podcast on the history of H&M Trucking, and that was one of the most fun podcasts that I've done. Not to take anything away from all the driver profiles and the fun conversations that I have with staff members from H&M, but I really have grown to love this company, as you might imagine. I'm in it every single day. I'm talking about the ins and the outs and the fine details that keep this mammoth of a trucking fleet moving forward every single day. And to be able to hear from the men responsible for not only bringing it from the ground up to where it is today, but the ones that are also responsible for keeping it moving forward every single day into the future, that was just a great experience for me. I'm a little bit of a history buff. You can find me watching a World War II documentary from time to time. I love me some Band of Brothers, stuff like that. So listen, if we're going to get into history, I'll sit down and grab a warm cup of Joe and we can have a chat, all right? Thank you for tuning in to the History of H&M Trucking episode. As I said, I had a great time making it, and I want to send out a huge thank you to Randy Moeller, Dale Cook, and James Fonda for coming on and making this episode such a fun one for me to do. Don't forget to click like and subscribe. All that stuff is still very important. Even though I'm just sitting here gushing about how much fun I had making this episode, the real nuts and bolts still do matter. So make sure you click that subscribe button if you want to know when each episode is airing. Again, we air on Wednesdays at 5 a.m. Central Time, so it's always there for you right in the middle of your week to get you through that hump day. We've got some great episodes planned coming out here in the future, so just strap in and get ready. To all you drivers out there listening, thanks for what you do. Keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. And stay fresh, cheese bags.
Thank you for listening to the H&M Trucking Podcast. Please leave a review, subscribe, and connect with Marcus over at the H&M Trucking social media channels. And if you're considering a job at H&M, find us at hmtrucking.com. Until next time, stay safe and ahead of the curve drivers.